And as much as I love stories and hearing a good story, there is one book that I have found that is full of stories, but they are different kinds of stories. Jesus himself, he told stories, and these stories that Jesus told, they were called parables. And the word parable comes from a Greek word which means to lay down along beside something. And the whole idea of a parable, when Jesus told these stories, it was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, which means that there was more to it than just what you heard. And the reason why Jesus did it that way was he made it to make, wanted to make a point. Our text today is found in Matthew chapter 7, and we are going to look at verse 24 and read down to verse 29, and it reads as follows. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. I would like you to think with me on this thought. We're going to do a little series here for maybe the rest of the summer and into the early fall. And the series is called this. More than just a story. More than just a story. If you look in the Gospels where the life of Christ is recorded, you will find there are about 30 different parables that Jesus told. Some of them are repeated in more than one Gospel. For example, this particular parable is also found in Luke's Gospel in the 6th chapter, verses 27, 48, and 49. And I guess if you wanted to call it something, it would say, the wise and the foolish builder. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you to spend a few minutes in the Word, and we ask that you would open our eyes and we may behold wondrous things from thy truth, to the point that you are glorified, the people are edified, and our lives are changed, and we're never the same as a result of being here under the sound of your Word. Father, plant the Word deep in the soil of our hearts that it may grow and bring forth things that glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for parable is also translated proverb. And there are several proverbs that are mentioned in the Old Testament. Particularly, there was a man who wrote a book which about the first 24 chapters was written by him, and it is called the Proverbs of Solomon. And you find that there are also a couple stories in the Old Testament that are parables. But the word is translated proverb or parable, and sometimes it's used interchangeably, but they're not the same thing. And when we're talking about parables, you need to compare them to other things to get the difference between the two. There are other kinds of stories. A story is known also as a fable. There's a book by a man, and it's called Aesop's Fables, and it's a bunch of stories about things that happen here on earth with a point to them. Like you've got the story about the mouse, and you've got the story that has the elephant, and you find out about the elephant and the mouse and their relationship. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's Aesop's fable. Well, the difference between a parable and a fable is that fables simply deal with earthly stories. There's no heavenly meaning to them all. They're just stories about things that happen in life on earth. There's also a thing that people tell that are called myths. And there are, there's a myth about over in Ireland, there's a lake, and there's supposedly this giant sea creature in there called the Loch Ness Monster. And a myth is a story that is presenting itself as being true. And all through time, in the Middle Ages, there's lots of myths that came out of things. Indians have a lot of myths and stories about things to explain things. If you go out west, there's a place, a monument, a stone monument called the Devil's Tower with big streaks down the side of it. And supposedly, the story goes, is there were Indian maidens who were standing on this flat table of land, and a great bear came to attack them. Well, they prayed to the Great Spirit, and out of the ground, this table rose up in the air as a big tower. Well, as it was rising up into the air and the bear tried to attack them, it reached up and grabbed the top of the table, and as the tower was rising up, its claws left marks in the stone all the way down the side, and that explains why you've got these big straight lines going down the side table. It's a myth. Now, you've also got Proverbs, for example. One that you hear is physician, heal thyself. And the whole idea is that it's not necessarily a story, but there's a meaning to it. So that's the difference between a proverb and a parable. It's just the same that you have a meaning to without a story that goes with it. Another thing that people also tell are things called allegories. And allegories are stories where the interpretation of the story is a significant thing. It's how you interpret the story that makes it an allegory. So there's all these things that we have around us and that we've heard, but they're not parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And when you look at parables, you find that everything in the parable stands for something else. Everything in the parable is a type or represents something else. So the whole idea is not to miss the point. And usually you will find that when Jesus tells parables, it's always a contrast between right and wrong, good and bad. It's always a contrast between making a choice that has good consequences and making a choice that has bad consequences. And if you're paying attention, you can't help but get the point. How many of you have ever lived in a house? How many of you ever bought a house? How many of you ever built a house? They say that in our country today, it is a buyer's market because there are so many houses out there on the market that they can't sell them all. So the whole idea is if you're looking for a house, this is a good time to go find one because you can probably get the price you're looking for. Well, some people are a little more adventurous than that, and they want to build from scratch. How many of you have ever been to Florida? Because one of the things that it talked about in this story is building a house on the sand. People say, well, you can't build houses on sand. And I say, oh, no, then go to Florida, because just about everything in Florida is built on the sand. So you can build on the sand, and that's not what Jesus is trying to say. He's trying to say what happens when you build on the sand, if you don't do it right, and if you do it wrong. And he goes on and says this. Sometimes people make mistakes in life not because they're paying attention, but because they're not paying attention. I had that experience last week. Not paying attention caused me several moments turning into hours of undoing and fixing what I did because I did it wrong because I wasn't paying attention. And his point is these two houses represent your life and my life and the choices we make about how our life is going to turn out. Because once the die is cast, the die is cast. And once we've made the choice, we have to live with the consequences. So life is about making choices and the consequences. It doesn't mean that we can't make a mistake and ask for forgiveness, but there's always consequences to everything we do. And sometimes, they say sin, it brings like a harvest, it brings more than we originally intended, it comes when we don't expect it, and it lasts longer than we think it should. So there's always consequences, as well as doing things the right way. There's blessings, and there's cursing. But his point is are you listening? When you come to Sunday school, when you come to church, do you come to see your friends? Do you come just to say, I've been there? Do you come to get a brownie point with God? Or do you come to hear what God has got to say? But there's also more to it than that. There's a difference between hearing and listening. People who are married know the difference. Because I've seen many husbands and wives who the wife will say to the husband, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? And the husband goes, yes, dear. I've seen it where husbands will come down, sit behind the paper, and the wife will say, well, the house caught on fire today. And we got robbed this morning. And the children, they've left home and moved to Alaska. Are you listening to everything I'm saying, dear? I heard every word. I noticed that when you talk to women, they are visual people because they want you to maintain eye contact with them. Because if you're not making eye contact, they often say, are you paying attention to what I'm saying to you? And you go, yes. Well, then repeat it back. Well, once you confirm that, you know, but they still want that eye contact. But there's a difference, and even happens with parents and children. You say things, and they think the phrase is, it goes in one and out the other, or it goes right over the top of your head. They say it's selective hearing. Often older people, my grandmother was like this, she said she couldn't hear. But I always said she couldn't hear at times, because she could hear what she wanted to hear when she wanted to hear it. Just when you thought she wasn't paying attention. I heard that. So it's not the idea of hearing, but it's also the listening that goes involved, because you miss stuff. My uncle once told me, he said, you know, people tell stories, you may have heard the story before. So instead of tuning out what you think you already know, when you hear a story that you've heard before by somebody that's telling it again, pay attention, because you may learn something you didn't pick up the first time. How many of you have ever watched the movie more than once? And when you watch it the second time, all of a sudden, you notice things you've never seen before. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You can read through the Bible one time and say, I've read it, I know it, that's all I need. Wrong. How many times at different stages and phases of your life where you can read the 23rd Psalm and it means one thing today, and 5 years from now, because of your experiences and what you're going through, it means something completely different because different verses jump out at you. It's the idea that just because you've heard it doesn't mean you know it. Have you ever asked for advice? I have found in my life that when you give advice to people that did not ask for it, they usually pay no attention to it because they don't want to hear what you've got to say. The only time they're really tuned in and want to lock in on what you're saying is when they're asking for your advice. Then they're, as the phrase goes, all ears. And Jesus is saying simply this. There's two houses which represent two lives. And if you listen, you will do what I will say that will help you survive the storms of life. He says, build your house upon the rock. What does that mean? It means you dig down, dig down, dig down until you find a solid foundation that will not give way. They built a new elementary school out there on 247 and 62 in Hillsboro. And one of the things they found when they built it was they didn't have to dig down very far because it was on a rock. Which is nice if you want it on a rock. Not so nice if you didn't want the rock there. I've seen people build houses who dug down and found rock and go, uh-oh, we've got a problem. And they have to get rid of the rock because the rock's in the way. But the point is if you build it on the rock, it's going to be steady and true and sure. And then he talks about rain. We've seen it rain. People in St. Louis a couple weeks ago found out what rain really was because 300,000 of them were without electricity and some of them were without electricity for 10 to 14 days. But the storms came and they had all kinds of damage. A couple months ago we had a little tornado that came along here and it came down North Shore and ripped the top off of the roof and did all kinds of things. But the point is if it's not made well, it's not going to last. Because when the storms of life come, if it wasn't designed to be hurricane-proof, tornado-proof, earthquake-proof, it's going to fall. And that's his point. It's simply this. If you want your life to succeed from God's perspective, build it upon the rock. Jesus said, I am the rock. If you want your life to have meaning and purpose and to be able to withstand whatever happens, because he doesn't say it's not going to happen, it's a question of when it's going to rain. When the storm's going to come, when the wind's going to blow. And if your life is built upon Christ, if my life is built upon Christ, it may be rough, it may be tough, it may be unpleasant, but we're not going anywhere because we're hooked to somebody that's never going to let us go and that will always be there from now until eternity. But you know, you can decide that you want to be from the Frank Sinatra school. I did it my way. You can't tell me nothing. I know more than you do. I've lived long enough to know this. I've been to school. I've got education. I know what I'm doing. And you decide, let him go, let him go. And you build your house out there in the sand. And the other thing about it was, is it's a lot like two people's lives. It's what's underneath and on the inside that makes the difference. Because Jesus said the exact type house was built in both cases. If you come out 124, coming toward the lake. Right before you get to the last bridge, if you look to the left and you look to the right, you will see two houses. And these houses are exactly the same. It is exactly the same house. And you say, why are the two houses, one on one side of the road and one on the other side of the road? And the reason is this. When they built the house on the right side of the road. They built it, and they didn't like where it was. So they went across the road, and they built the exact same house facing the other side of the road, because that's the side of the road that they wanted to be on. Two houses built exactly the same, exactly laid out. They're mirror images of each other. And his point in the story is that you can have two lives, two people who live side by side. They both have children. They both have wives. They get up. They go to work. They come home. They get up. They go to work. They come home. But then the storms of life come. The person on the right, they're surviving. The person on the left, they're getting killed. And the difference is, what's the difference? The difference isn't what you can see, it's what you can't see. And Jesus is what you can't see in our lives. Because the Bible says that when we accept Him by faith, He's in our heart. And what's in our heart makes all the difference in how we handle life. So He says, do you want to be wise and listen to me, or do you want to be foolish and be like Frank Sinatra and run around singing, I did it my way? Hell is full of people who are singing Frank Sinatra's songs. And they realize that if they had stopped listening to Frank and paid more attention to Jesus, they wouldn't be in hell right now, because if they'd listened when Jesus said, build your life upon me, I am the rock that will help you survive. So I close and simply say this. If I ask you today, which kind of house is yours, what would you be able to say? Could you say without a shadow of doubt that my house has been built upon Jesus Christ, and He is the rock and the foundation upon which everything I do exists? It's for Him I live, and for Him I die. It doesn't really make any difference what happens in my life, because as Paul said, you know what? For the Christian, we got it made. To go to heaven is where we all want to be. Someday, when Jesus comes and we go to be with Him, or if we die before we're, quote-unquote, supposed to, or when our time comes, the Bible says that once in Christ, always in Christ, and that He has prepared a place for us. So we've got a reservation where someone says we're neither unknown nor unexpected. We are reserved in heaven. But He says, you know, but if I stay here, I'm living for the Lord, and I'm doing what God wants me to do, and He gives me the strength to do everything I do because I'm living for Him. So whether I stay and do more things for the kingdom, or whether I go and be with the Lord, I can't lose. Now, a lot of us are not going out here the way we want to, because some of us are going to get sick and die and get in accidents and get cancer. Some people go, oh, what a shame. He died, she died before their time. Nobody dies before their time. Everybody leaves here when God says it is time. And nobody's guaranteed about how we get to leave. Now, how many of you would like to be 85 years old, go to bed, go to sleep, wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, because I'm in heaven? No suffering, no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no agony, no heartache, no heartbreak. Sometimes that happens, but for a lot of us, we're not going out like that. Most of the people I have known that have died in the last couple of weeks, when you ask how they died, they have cancer of one kind or another. Cancer seems to be very prevalent in our society, or they're in accidents, or they have heart problems. There's something wrong with the body because of sin that it's breaking down, but we're going out of here one way or the other. And Jesus says, where do you want to spend eternity? If you want to spend eternity with me, then build your life upon rock. If you're sitting here today and I ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Could you say yes? Not that you know about Him, not that you've been to vacation Bible school and learned about Him, but do you know Him for yourself? Because I guarantee you that when the storms of life come, and they are coming, someone once said that life is either a storm you're coming out of, a storm you're in, or a storm you're heading into. Life is full of storms. Sometimes they come suddenly. Sometimes they come strikingly. Sometimes they come severely. But we are going to have storms because we live in a fallen world because of a thing called sin. But Jesus Christ came to give us a way to be able to handle the storms of life and to make it through to the other side. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The one who built it, the one who created it, the one who sustains it, the one who made it, can tell you more about it than the person that's just talking about it because they read it in a book. Jesus was the ultimate authority because He was God Himself. So when He talked about the issues of life and death, He knew what He was talking about because He's the one that gave us life. He's the one that understands death. So the person who knows it because they created it knows more about it than somebody that's just repeating what they read in a book. We just finished the book of James. But the first chapter of James ties in with this, and I say this in closing, because it talks about us and our listening and our hearing and our reactions thereof. James says this in the first chapter. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man holding his face, a natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Are we just going to hear and ignore, or do what God has called us to do? See, God did all this because He loves us. He loves you, He loves me, more than we will ever love ourselves. And He knows that we're messed up. I'm messed up, you're messed up, because of the thing we were born with called sin. And the only way to take care of the sin problem is by, first of all, admitting we've got the problem. Second of all, turning to somebody that can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and that's Jesus Christ. That's why we look at an empty cross, because Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for you and for me. And He came to die because we've got a disease called sin, for which grace is the only cure. And once we accept the cure, we're saved. Not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for all eternity. My question to you today is, have you made that choice? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for reminding us that it's more than just a story. It reminds us of earthly stories with heavenly meaning. When we think about the One who told the story, it means so much more. We ask, Father, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that doesn't know You, they may say yes to You and come to accept You as personal Lord and Savior. For those of us who say that we're walking with You, may we not just talk about it, then we also walk the walk and talk the talk. We thank You for all that in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen.